It's time for the Miller Lite Top Draft Show with your hosts Gabe Ramirez and Mark Grody, live at Tavern on the Point, located at 6724 North Northwest Highway in Chicago. Brought to you by Miller Lite. It's Miller time on Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago's home for Bears fans, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Curry, way downtown.
That's a magic number. Morrell going to third. He will slide. He's got a triple.
Rose trying to get open. Fires away. It's over. The Bulls win at the buzzer.
The trifecta, the top three stories of the day in no particular order. Today, we're doing nothing but Bears because, of course, I am alongside Mark Grody today, one of my favorite people in the world. What's up, Mark?
Gabe, good to see you, man. And I was just... Before we started the show, I was complimented by a patron, a fan, for arriving right at 6:59. Yes, I did. And I can't believe I made it because it shouldn't take an hour and 15 minutes to go from Chicago to Chicago.
Right.
But traffic is alive.
It's because when you say, like, you know, it's so Chicago to say I'll be there in 15 minutes. Right? That's what you do no matter where you're at. You're like, oh, I'll be there in 15 minutes.
Exactly.
You never put an hour in front of that.
No.
That's
no.
But when you're coming to the Northwest side, that's the thing sometimes. Because the Northwest side is a little tricky. You know, the expressway is not necessarily everywhere you want to be. And so it's the streets, the lights, the stop signs, the people picking up their kids after school, to get in the way.
Yeah, I don't have a ton of familiarity with this area. It's kind of a blind spot
okay.
to the city. But I love the area. I love where we are right now. I love that when I walked in, you already had a bucket of beers in front of you. I can't believe none of them are open.
No. It's Miller Lite taking care of us here, so we got to make sure that, you know, we show love. And who knows? Maybe somebody could get one when they're walking by. Or if they come hang out with us today. Of course,
absolutely.
We're at Tavern on the Point on the Northwest side over on Northwest Highway. You guys make sure you come hang out. We're going to be here till 10. But like I said, man, we're going to start the show the way we always do with the trifecta. Here's number three.
The number of the day is three.
Number three is Justin Fields. I know that's shocking, but actually, I want to hear something from Justin Fields, and this has nothing to do with the injured left shoulder.
Thank God.
Of Justin Fields. This has nothing to do with it. It's something that I was thinking about when watching the Atlanta Falcons, who seem to have of the teams that have defended this version of Justin Fields, they seem to have been the most effective at it. Even though Justin did get his, the yards started to add up for him. But what was it, Justin Fields, that the Atlanta Falcons were doing?
Yeah, they were just, with their DNs on the zone read, they were just mesh charge rather than, you know, letting me read their DNs and, you know, get around them. So that's kind of how they handled the zone read game. And, you know, they were playing a lot of quarters just to have that, you know, safety come down and help in the run game. And, so that's the, you know, biggest thing they did.
How did you feel about that answer? Obviously, you wanted to know what it was.
Well, the thing that's interesting to me about it was that, you know, using the defensive ends, as he essentially said, is that we knew that this would eventually happen, that teams would start to figure it out, so to speak. And it doesn't mean that you can't still run what you are running, because Justin Fields is such a great athlete. It looks like he is a star when it comes to the usage of his legs. But teams were going to start to defend them well. And that was, even though we've all been understandably in a fuss over Justin Fields' shoulder, one of the things that I saw and noticed and said, okay, really take notice of Atlanta, not a great defensive team
at all.
What they did schematically was interesting and something worth looking at, and something that Justin Fields obviously was able to note as well. So I'm just thinking about Justin Fields going forward, whether he plays or not this week. We still don't know. I tend to doubt it. I know that we'll talk about that. But, I mean, it's interesting to think that the next time he does play, and if it is the Jets, that's the best defense in the NFL, arguably.
So I did a Monday morning reaction on the score 3-5. And so the news hadn't even came out yet about the shoulder and everything, and I was like, Justin should just not play Sunday. I'm like, the Jets had 7 sacks against the Patriots. I'm like, you know, Justin's not feeling well. So let him rest a little bit. You know, who needs him to be there? But you're absolutely right. I mean, you know, with those design quarterback runs, it's one thing when you were implementing them against the New England Patriots and they were unexpected. It's another thing several weeks later where now there's a ton of tape on it and teams can adapt. You already seen Aiden Hutchinson when the Bears faced the Lions, how he had adjusted. So, I mean, the tape's out there. This is what these guys coach, these guys do. So that's why I think a lot of people were upset about the amount of times a design run has been called over the last couple of weeks, because then now there's no longer the element of surprise there. Now you're implementing it so, or you're doing it so often, teams are anticipating it, so it's a little bit more easier to defend.
Right, and you can still win and gain a lot of yards with designed runs, but to your point, probably not as many. Let's go to number two.
Finally, we come to my number two man. His name, number two.
Trent Dilfer is a regular visitor to the Parkinson Spiegel show. He was on with those guys yesterday. And I think, I don't know, this might be a question worth throwing out there. If Justin Fields is the number one topic for the Bears in for many different reasons, what's number two? And I'll say that one of the ones that's coming pretty close these days is Chase Claypool. And Bears fans really wanting to see him get some more volume. And he simply has not been able to be a big part of the passing game. 3 games for Chase Claypool in a Bears uniform, 5 catches, 32 yards. And here's what Trent Dilfer said about Chase Claypool.
Yes, and I like Pringle as a blocker. One thing, you're not going to be able to attract anybody. You're going to have to draft them, because you're not going to get a free agent when you're tilted this one direction run pass, because they all want to go where they're going to get fed the rock and make Pro Bowls and get their incentives, as they should. You won't be able to sell the quarterback's going to be a great player, because any agent and free agent is going to be like, no, the proof's in the pudding. You guys ran it 66% of the time. I ain't going there. I didn't sign up to be a tight end. Right. So you're going to have that issue. And yeah, I think, you know, I don't know what you have in Claypool, because you don't throw it enough. Right. And then the ones you're really trying to throw, like, and I don't blame him, I design every play for Mooney as well. I think the kid's special. I think he's the next McLaurin. You know what I mean? The kid at Washington that came out of nowhere has become one of the best players in the league. I think Mooney can be as good as anybody. Komet's awesome. Like, we saw the one hand catch, by the way, that's the best catch of the year. I think it's better than the Jefferson catch, because how he got hit in the hip and still held on to it. Not better than Jefferson, but equal to Jefferson's catch. So you have 2 really good players. Why not try to develop another one? The backs are good receivers. That's another thing. We're talking about throwing the ball. You can throw the ball to backs. Like, there's no rule against Bill Walsh. Did a pretty good job throwing the ball to Roger Craig 100 times a year. Like, you can get the ball out quick and throw the ball to the back. Like, there's a lot of things you can do in the passing game that basically are runs that protect a bad offensive line. So, again, I don't want to be the one that's just pouring on Getsy. I think he's really good. I think he's going to be phenomenal. But at some point, the head coach has to say, bro, quit worrying about all these design runs. Go up there on a Monday and be like, I want to see triple the catalog in passing. I want to see it thrown twice as much in practice, and I want more than 30 throws in the game, and we'll deal with the rest.
That's a lot from Trent Dilfer right there.
It covered a lot, didn't it?
That was a lot. I'm trying to. I'm taking notes. I'm like, damn, slow down, coach. I got to get here.
I got to be honest. I'm not sure if that was the cut that this would have been my mistake. So, guys back there, it's on me. I don't know if that was exactly the cut that I wanted, but I think there was a lot of interest that came out of that. And I think to tie it into Chase Claypool, because I thought it was more Claypool-centric, to tie it in, he's saying, hey, nobody's getting theirs right now. Nobody's getting theirs because these receivers are asked to do different things. If you are running a running offense, even if it's like the old school 80s and 90s running back, you're going to build things differently. And the jobs of the wide receivers are going to be different, as in get ready to block.
Yeah.
Get ready to block a lot. That's why Equanimeous St. Brown is always in the lineup and is one of the most important receivers, quote unquote, in that offense because of his ability to block. So I think Dilfer is saying, hey, nobody's getting theirs in this offense.
He's Mark Grody. I'm Gabe Ramirez. We are here at the Miller Lite Top Draft Show at Tavern on the Point on the northwest side of the city. You know, I know what you were talking about with Chase Claypool, though, because, you know, 5 receptions, in his last two games, six receptions in his, or excuse me, five targets in his last two games, six targets in the first game. So 11 targets in total. When you're thinking about Chase Claypool, and I know Trent Dilfer touched on it, where he's like, you know, the offense is easy. I can learn it. And he's like, let's get you can get the ball to Chase Claypool. It's just tough. It's tough because I think, because who do you feel like is the, I don't want to say the blame, because they're still calling pass plays, right? But passes aren't necessarily the best.
Mm-hmm.
The receivers aren't necessarily making the most separation. You know, so who do you think that really lies on? Like, if you were to say, like, we know what the problem is, but who can we point to, or what can we point to say, but this is the reason why, or this person's not doing their job?
I think that you go back to two parts, the offensive line and Justin Fields, because it was because of that combination, whether Justin Fields or the offensive line not giving him enough time, it was that combination of personnel that made the Bears decide to completely change the offense.
Find out who they were in the middle of the season.
Yeah, that, and it was a terrific adjustment, because we have seen a side of Justin Fields that we had not seen. We saw last year some spectacular runs by Justin Fields,
yeah,
but not what he was doing on those blasts of touchdown runs. So, but the opportunity cost for that is that it's not this offense they're running now is not designed to throw.
Yeah.
There are throws in it. There is passing in it, and there's been some good passing in it. But this offense they are running is the Justin Fields running the football offense.
And it's funny, because I was talking to Ryan Porth earlier today. You know, he's a Titans fan, and you know, we were talking about teams kind of figure it out in the middle of the season. They find their identity, and then they try to implement it and do it the best to their ability. So the Bears did that, but it's just they don't have the skill players to make it the best it could possibly be. It's just the best of what they have. And you see the Titans are doing that. You see teams like Cincinnati Bengals are doing that, finding out who they are. But again, it's just tough, even though you can adjust your game plan. So the question then is, do you adjust it again? Or do you stick with that game plan that you have and that philosophy you have for the rest of the season?
Well, I think the next adjustment, do you count making the passing game a big part of it? I mean, I think that's the obvious adjustment, if you want to call it that.
Yeah.
Of course. I mean, I don't think they should just stick with this offense. And they're obviously going to have to adjust based on what, as we were talking about earlier, what defensive coordinators start to do to Justin Fields. So, no, of course. I mean, Bears fans should expect Justin Fields to get better at passing, because we know he can do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Want to see it.
We have seen him do it at a high level, albeit in college. We know he can be a consistently good passer. So if you do add that part, then this is an unstoppable quarterback. Let's go to number one.
He was number one.
Well, you know what? This fits right in with the theme of the show, and Justin Fields, and in particular, maybe this will answer your question a little bit better right there at the end, as far as will they adjust again. Tom Thayer was on the Mully and Haw show and was asked about the idea of sustainability of Justin Fields running the football.
No, it's not sustainable. And listen, I've talked to you guys for the last 3 or 4 weeks, and I'm against the amount of running that Justin is doing, because you have to get an indication during the week of practice. Are you seeing the structure of the offense, the way we're calling the play in a practice type tempo, that you're making the right decisions? Because you can still go out, and whether it's looking at the tape of the game last week and see how many throws that you should have made that you didn't make, that were obvious open receivers to the play you called in the huddle. And then, you know, the same things happen today. There are, you know, a couple times where Justin should have thrown the ball to the receiver, the design of the play, he doesn't throw the ball for some unknown reason, then he tucks the ball and run. Hey, everybody knows that he is a dynamic athlete, and there's no doubt about it. However, if we're sitting there doing this interview in 10 years from now, and we're talking about the development of the quarterback position, and we're talking about Justin, it's because he's understanding the structure of the offense, how it fits in according to the coverage that he's seen during the cadence, and then he throws the ball accordingly.
Yeah, I mean, It's a bold statement to say that you're just opposed to the amount of runs, right? Because it's what got us excited about Justin Fields to begin with. The designed runs, the, you know, taking away the, some of the play actions and the bootlegs and allowing him to just get out there and be the athlete that he is. But he's making some good points.
Yeah, I mean, and it's changed everything, the running for sure. But I think, you know, Tom, to some degree, is stating the obvious. I mean, it should be in the back or somewhere in everybody's heads associated with the Bears that, hey, that's pretty awesome. You got this guy running. It's pretty spectacular. But, yeah, it'd be pretty awesome, too, to see this guy going down the field in 50 seconds at the end of a game with throwing the football.
It does. It's big, big pressure put on him. All right, that is your trifecta for today.
That's right. A magic number.
Three stories. So we are here at Tavern on the Point for the Miller Lite Top Draft Show. Gabe Ramirez, Mark Grody. Going to be here till 10 o'clock. Got a lot of giveaways, giving away some Bears tickets.
Yeah.
We also get giving away an on-field Bears opportunity.
Nice.
We got some good staff here taking care of us. Of course, my girl MP. Where's MP at? I know she's out there handling business. And, you know, there's some other things we got to take care of. So we're on the other side of this. Grody, I have a question for you. And, you know, the Bears, right now, they're defined as an offensive team, right?
Crazy,
more so than the defense.
You stunned me with that.
I know.
Line.
Trust me.
Wait, say that
as
again.
I thought about this question, trust me, it was equally as stunning writing
it. What?
But the question I have for you is, will they reclaim their identity as a defensive team in 2023? Mark Grody will discuss that on the other side. We'll also take your answers as well if you want to text in 312-644-6767. It's the Miller Lite Top Draft Show here at Tavern on the Point. It's Gabe Ramirez, Mark Grody. We'll be back after this.
We're back with more of the Scores Miller Lite Top Draft Show with Gabe Ramirez and Mark Grody live at Tavern on the Point, 6724 North Northwest Highway in Chicago. Brought to you by Miller Lite. It's Miller time.
We are broadcasting live all the way till 10 o'clock. Mark, how do you feel about Kanye's intro music right now?
Sounds good to me.
I know. I'm surprised. You know, sometimes you never know. It's like, I know the songs, and then I wonder if my people know the song, and then people feel a certain type of
way. I actually don't know that song, but it sounds good to me, man. It hit my ear just right.
Old Kanye.
You know, old Kanye. Not the Kanye that I once met at the United Center. I was there covering a Bulls game. I was covering a Bulls game. And, good Kanye was there. And I was there with my buddy Dan Levy, who was also covering for somebody.
Of course.
And Levy's got this big voice, really deep, strong voice. And Kanye's just standing there, and it's he and I. And Dan just goes, hey, what's going on, Kanye? And he just looks at both of us and goes, hey, what's happening, fellas?
What's happening, fellas?
Just like that.
I'm all my years in radio, I've never had a conversation with Kanye West. I thought,
really?
I know, it's surprising.
That doesn't seem odd.
That's why I'm mini jealous of you right now.
Well,
you've done that.
Well, there's that, and I occasionally run into Chance the Rapper. No joke, he lives three blocks from me. You know where he lives, right?
Don't name drop and try to house drop on me. You know where he lives, right?
I'm walking. Well, I don't want to give away where he lives. That's all. And so,
shout out Chance the Rapper. I always used to make jokes on the radio as well that I'd beat him in a footwork competition. You know, like the Chicago dancing, footwork.
Oh, okay, okay.
That was a joke. But again, never got to that point. But either way, true Chicagoans here in the building. Gabe Ramirez, Mark Grody, talking about some other Chicagoans. But we get an opportunity to talk about our favorite team right now, our Chicago Bears. And I asked a question before the break. I said the Bears right now are defined as an offensive team. The defense is, and that's because of the defense just happens to be so bad. It's just not because of their dedication to the offense. But the question I have for you is, in 2023, next year, Bears have a ton of money that they can spend in free agency. Obviously, they have draft capital. Will they reclaim their identity as a defensive team in 2023?
I don't need that. What I need first and foremost is to know that the Bears have their quarterback of the future, that they have their franchise.
Don't we know that already?
Quarterback.
Don't we know that already?
Well, I
are you
think
still, are you still Have you been looking at mock drafts and seeing who's available at number 3?
No, I just think you got to put a lot of stuff around him still. We've talked about it. I mean, you still got to put offensive line around him. You've got to give him wide receivers. You've got to protect this guy in so many different ways that I think it's important to start with that and making sure that you have the identity remains offense. And
so,
I don't need, like, of course it would be great if the Bears were the Buffalo Bills, where you could say you have elite on both sides. That'd be terrific. But at this point, if I had to choose that, where the heavy resources are, where you are fixing it to make it good for the next 10 years or whatever the window is, I would choose the offense and settle for middle-of-the-road defense.
That's interesting to say, because you would think that if a quarterback is that good, then he can then operate a mid-level to exceptional offense and not necessarily need to have the best offensive line and the best wide receivers. And because if that's the case, then you could put a mediocre. You should be able to put a game managing quarterback like a Ryan Tannehill
right
at that position in order to excel at that level. I guess I'm just curious because, you know, it's more of a question about what direction are the Bears going to be going in with this money and with this draft capital,
right? Or if Justin Fields was a finished product too? Because the example you were just giving, talking about, yes, of course, superstar quarterbacks make everybody better. He's not there yet,
right? Right.
He's not there yet, and part of it is, as we were talking about early, is, and I don't know how much of it is, the support around him. It may be more of that than it is Justin Fields.
Now, when you say support around him, are you talking about the coaching?
No, I'm talking about the players. I'm talking about the talent around him. Yep, from offensive line to receivers.
Yeah, and then you're looking at those guys, and you're saying to yourself, like, I don't know, as a delusional Bears fan, I look at a guy like David Montgomery, and I look at a guy like Khalil Herbert, and I say, okay, well, that's good. And then I look at the receivers and I say, okay, well, Darnell Mooney and Chase Claypool, like, they're good and serviceable. And like we mentioned, Equanimeous in certain roles is good.
Pringle,
who obviously you wish you saw a little bit more from. So then I guess for me, I look at the offensive line, and that's what everybody keeps talking about, right? Like Next Gen Stats says the Bears are 32nd in the league in pressure on true pass plays, not screens, not bootlegs, on true pass plays at 65%. That's crazy, 65%, to think that much of the time you're under pressure. But it's like, you knew what you had going into the season, so like, why are we so shocked about this offensive line? And not
shocked about it, but you just have to circle it and say, okay, well, we did accept that for this year, cannot accept that for next year. Because to some degree, I think some of our questions have been answered. Is Justin Fields given a fair playing field when the talent around him, remember we asked this question before the season started, because the talent around him is mediocre.
Right.
And I think that's been answered. The Bears have abandoned. They abandoned their passing game, essentially, what they were doing. And I'm being dramatic. I mean, they haven't completely abandoned it. But you know what I'm saying? They scrapped what they had planned to do with Justin Fields probably based on the fact that he was going to get killed back there.
Yeah.
That he wasn't going to have enough time. That maybe he doesn't see the entire field well enough yet. That it's impossible to develop this guy under those circumstances.
Yeah, I was listening to Dan Weider earlier today with Parkins and Spiegel, and he was talking about, you know, everybody has their complaint about the last drive of the game. And he's like, well, Luke Getsy was under the assumption that it would be an 8-9 play drive. And maybe, you know, he would have thrown the ball, you know, within that time frame. But my complaint still exists about the first two plays, because you can all right, let's eliminate the fact that the second one wasn't a design run.
Right,
fine.
Right. It was still a run.
It was a draw play. Like,
yes.
Like you're not making me feel better.
Yes.
Because then Danny Parkins is like, oh, well, that makes me feel a little bit better. My anger wasn't necessary. No, mine was there wholeheartedly. Why? Because this is the offense that the Bears have. This is that offense. So,
yeah.
So and the fact that we all want at least something a little different, it's like, I said it a ton leading up to the game. Obviously, their D-line looked good against the Bears, but they were 31st in sacks, 32nd in passing yards allowed. And I just felt like there should have been more opportunities there for Justin Fields to do that. So yeah, I'm still mad on the last drive. Even I don't care about the second play. It's the two runs, two of them.
Yeah,
to
hey
start
man,
the game.
You live by that. The way they have set up their offense, the way they what they practice every single day, you die by it too. You know, you can't. You don't have that those plays in your back pocket right now. They're there, but this is what they have practiced. This is what they have game planned for. It would be going way outside of the box at that point to say, all right, we're going to just throw the ball down the field. I wanted to see that too.
Yeah.
And I totally get your anger. But that's, again, that goes back to the opportunity cost. This is the deal they made with themselves
right.
that when they changed the offense, that guess what? We're not going to put so much focus on using the pass to get the ball down the field. So in the end, the Bears died for it. But yes, for those who were outraged and sensed that Luke Getsy would call another design quarterback run by Justin Fields on second play, you must ask for forgiveness from Luke Getsy, I guess myself included, because that was not the play call. He did not put
right.
his quarterback in danger after word had been very obvious that there was a left shoulder.
It was funny because the PR nightmare was like, everybody's like, wait, no. No, no, no. That was
no.
Let's get ahead of this right now. You got to do some publicity.
No, that was really smart. And Getsy will speak tomorrow, by the way, from Halasol. So will a quarterback.
Yeah.
Which quarterback will be speaking tomorrow?
Ooh.
We are not sure, because I don't think that the gamesmanship doesn't go so far as to put Justin Fields up there, even if he's not going to play. We should find out tomorrow who the quarterback is going to be for the Bears. It would be really dramatic if Justin Fields walked up to that lectern.
They don't want him answering those kinds of questions.
No, but I know. But that but that would mean that he might play.
Yeah.
That, you know, because they have
Mark Grody. There's no way that they should. That,
no.
No, there's no way he's going to play on Sunday.
No, just take a breather. Even if it's something like the shoulder thing is not as like it's best case scenario of an injury.
Right.
Even if it's that. This is the second time he's hurt his left shoulder. 2 weeks in a row, he was talking about the legs. He was tired from the Detroit game, tired legs, heavy legs, whatever.
Right.
And then he was getting stretched out about the entire game due to cramping throughout. So it seems like a really good week to give Justin Fields a breather, and hopefully that's it, and then you put him back in.
He was there with his massage gun on the sideline.
Yeah.
And you're like, damn, booty's all in the air. You're like, dude, come on. Chill out.
Still got his tablet.
Right. You know, the frustrating thing for me, Groats, is that, you know, there have been games where Luke Getsy has started off calling pass plays. You know, I just looked up the first drive of the game versus the Miami Dolphins. First play of the game, 7-yard pass to Cole Kmet. Second play of the game, pass down the middle for 12 yards to Dante Pettis. Third play of the game, pass to Chase Claypool. It's like, he's capable of it. We see it. And then, but then you take it away from us.
Yeah.
You know, you take it away, and then you make these wonderful halftime adjustments. And I'm sure there's an answer. I'm sure there's, but unfortunately, Luke Getsy's not sitting in front of me where I can ask him these questions, and I have to then answer them in my brain, which is dangerous.
How about quality over quantity, maybe, right now, that there are some plays that Justin Fields is completely comfortable with that they're using? And I'm with you, man. That pass to David Montgomery down the sideline. You know the pass I'm talking about, because there wasn't two of them to David Montgomery.
there wasn't many completions.
No. So the David Montgomery catch is he, you know, rolled right. He's directing traffic in front of him. That was maybe one of my favorite Justin Fields plays of his career, just because he knew what he wanted to do.
Yeah.
And he was working David Montgomery open. And then on that same drive, another nice 10-yard pass to Equanimeous St. Brown that eventually leads to the David Montgomery running touchdown. So they're building, I mean, they want to see Justin Fields pass more too. Unfortunately, I think sometimes, and this is the part that they can't tell us or won't tell us, or maybe it's my job to find out,
right,
is that they know what Justin Fields is capable of right now and what he's not capable of right now.
Do they also know how much more he can grow, or is that still up in the air? Because if they understand his shortcomings, but they also understand his traits that obviously are allowing him to excel in the NFL, do you think they have a good grasp of where he can go, or is that still up in the air?
I do. No, I think it's in their heads that they would, Luke Getsy would love Justin Fields to throw.
Okay, but this is what I'm saying, though. Okay, what on a scale from 1 to 10, what's the highest you think Justin Fields can be? Not right now, not what he is right now. But what's the highest you think he can be?
Well, I guess like a scale of 1 to 10.
1 to 10. 10 being an elite quarterback. 10 being an elite, absolutely. Do you think the highest he can go is like a 9.2, 9.7?
I think he's between 8 and 10. I mean,
No. You got to be more specific. Because my follow-up question is then equally important.
Oh, man. Okay, I'll be dramatic. 10.
10. Okay.
Yeah, I'll give it. So then, he's got all the skills.
Right.
Man.
And then, so then the follow up to that is, where is he at right now?
Oh, man. Okay.
Because that's the growth that I'm looking at, Grody. When I'm trying to look at Justin Fields, and I'm trying to see, I know where he can be too, but damn, how much longer? Like, how long does he have to go to get there? And what should I be placing these 9 expectations on him when he's really only in 7.5 right now?
I would have been way more worried about that kind of thing if we hadn't seen what we've seen recently with Justin Fields. And okay. And not just talk about the running, but some of the gorgeous passes that he has made, some of which we just spoke about. So I think that he can get there. Where are you on that scale?
I know. I think you're right. He's shown us some flashes of greatness. And I also think he could be a 10.
Okay. Right?
Can be. Because if you could just figure out the throwing thing and put the two together, right, you're already breaking records with your legs. Like, you can be a 10.
Yeah.
It's like, where are you at right now? Damn, I got to be honest. Like, there's some bad moments from Justin Fields, too. Right? Like, we give him, you know what I'm saying, a lot of credit. But there's some moments when you're like, dude, come on. And so I think the average is out to me. He's somewhere like in the lower sevens, like 7.2.
Oh, okay.
7.2.
Oh, that's strong. 7.1, 7.2. That's really strong. Yeah. So.
And then I just want him to be like an 8.5.
Yeah.
Where I would love for him to live. Like, live in that space.
Uh-huh.
And then have occasional games of 10. But I need you to, you know, be at that 8.5 would be great for me.
Okay. No, I mean, that's, I don't know if I would have him right now as high as you do, like a 7.2.
So you got just
6.5, maybe. I mean, come
okay.
on, man.
I like this.
Yeah,
this is good because it allows texters to chime in
just
too.
Just because he's an incomplete product at this point, you know what I mean? Like, it's all there, like, and that goes along with the whole Luke Getsy thing too, and all the championing him for other jobs and all that. He's only completed half. He's completed half a quarterback.
Yeah.
And this half is wonderful.
And that's
it's great. It might be his good side.
That's the funniest part about it. It's like, to use your example of a 6.5, even at a 6.5 Justin right now in 2022, a 6.5 has got people that excited.
Yeah, but a 6.5 is pretty good, I think.
Yeah.
Like, and with NFL quarterbacks, and especially in this town,
okay,
a 6.5? Yeah, right. I mean, that's nice.
Well, on the other side, Groats, I got another question for you, and it has to do with your 6.5 quarterback ranking.
Okay.
All right.
Half a dozen, one the other.
Yeah. And then we'll find out, because the question I have for you has, these are the answers. 0, 1, and 3. 0, 1, and 3. What the question is, I'll tell you on the other side, but it has to do with Justin Fields. All right.
Okay.
It's Gabe Ramirez, Mark Grody here at Tavern on the Point for the Miller Lite Top Draft Show. We'll be back after this on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We're back with more of The Score's Miller Lite Top Draft Show with Gabe Ramirez and Mark Grody live at Tavern on the Point, 6724 North Northwest Highway in Chicago. Brought to you by Miller Lite. It's Miller time.
That's right, Gabe and Grody broadcasting live till 10 o'clock. Make sure you guys come hang out with us. If you want to get yourselves a Miller Lite, just come up to the booth, and then I know a guy. Jake. His name is Jake.
Jake's a guy.
I actually know a guy.
Yeah.
That can get you a Miller Lite.
Bring you some sliders like that, yeah, man.
I got the filet sliders. I've been here before. I've done a couple of Miller Lite brew reviews for the Chicago Bears here, and we've been upstairs on the terrace. Beautiful out.
Yeah.
I always have good people here. I brought my parents here.
Nice.
My nephew.
Looks good.
And so I had a heads up on the
Caesar
on the
salad
here.
Going on.
You know what? I'm really proud of myself right now for not getting any fries.
Is that? Oh, okay. So that was in lieu of the French fries.
It took a lot, because I really love French fries.
I am not in a state of discipline right now. I've got to get there again someday. But it's right now, I'll be ordering some I'm going to get the fries.
When you order your to-go?
Yeah,
what are you
going to
get? The sliders? You going to get these sliders?
Yeah, we'll see. The sliders look really good, but they'll
How can you not eat? When's the last time you ate, man? What's going on here? Tell him why you're not going to eat till 10 o'clock at night. It's 7.
I have a very...
And you drove for an hour and a half to get here.
Good God, man. I just don't like to eat while broadcasting because it kind of like slows me down.
Now
I can't be slowed down, Dave.
Now you're making me feel bad. Yeah,
no, no, you'll be fine. I've seen you eat before and your energy stays high.
All right.
I don't know if I can turn the same
trick. It's the Diet Coke.
Plus, I like the whole, like, after you finish work, get the food.
Yeah.
It's sort of my own little ceremony, sitting in front of the TV with the delicious food. So, honestly, that's really what it is. I'm actually hungry right now, but I'm waiting so I can have my food ceremony.
Oh, I can't wait to get back to this food. But in the meantime, I get to give you the answers to the question.
Okay.
It's like a test. Dude. It's like, you know.
Yeah,
you
can, I got paper and pencil.
And the
here,
answers
man.
To the question
making me nervous.
Are 0, 1, and 3.
Okay.
Okay, 0, 1, and 3.
0, 1, and 3.
And the question that I have for you and just anybody that's listening is,
how
many weeks should Justin Fields be taking off?
How many weeks should he be?
Should he be. Right, because if he takes off one, it'll be 0, he'll be playing this Sunday. If he takes off one, he'll get this Sunday off. And if it's 3, it's because he's then getting the next 2 weeks off plus the bye week. Right, so that's why 2 isn't an answer.
Wow.
So 0, okay. 1, and 3.
1. 1 is, I stand by that. Now.
So you want to play it against the Packers. When you,
well, this is kind of hard to answer not knowing what the injury is. Like, where are you setting the bar here, man?
Okay, take off your Bears media guy hat.
Okay.
And now just, have a conversation with your guy.
It's all right. I've been staring at my media Bears hat all night. So, okay. It's off now, okay?
I like it.
Okay, I'm just a fan now,
yeah,
Gabe.
Yeah, Chicago. You're a Chicago guy. How many weeks you want to see Justin Fields off for?
Okay, where's the bar set here? Because are we playing like he's got an injury or he doesn't?
We're playing like the – Mark Grody. You're acting like you never had a beer with some guys and you're talking about the quarterback and the guy's asking you how many weeks do you want him to take off. It's just you. Well, it's how you feel.
Okay.
Right now, in this moment, Bears 3-8, Justin Fields.
1 week.
So you want him back for the Bears game?
Yes, I want him back for the Packers game, yes.
Why do you feel like you wouldn't want to sit him off for the 3? Let's eliminate the answers, right? So it was 0, 1, and 3. So you don't want it to be 0 because you definitely don't want him playing this week.
Correct. So that's my 1. Like, I would sit him this week.
And is it because the Jets defense is that good or because you just want him to be able to sit out and rest the body?
Rest the body. Honestly, like the Jets, I'd love him to face the Jets defense.
Get a victory.
Love him to face that just to see what he can do. You know, I mean, like, it's all about checking boxes this year. I would have loved to have seen Justin Fields. So, no, it's completely because of the legs and the shoulder.
And then so then the question then is, if we're eliminating the other answers, so why not the 3? Why not just let him sit out then both of those games and allow him to get the bye week to have 3 weeks extended?
Because I don't think he needs it.
Okay.
I don't think he's going to need that. Like, if he – all right, let's just say I'm going to set a base here a little bit, okay?
Like,
even though we're just two fans talking right now. I'm going to set a base and say he just had a sore shoulder, didn't separate anything, nothing's dislocated, his shoulder's just hurting. And keeping in mind that his shoulder was also hurting, left shoulder, was hurting after the Washington game. So I'm gonna set the bar right there that it's a bruise, maybe, let's just say that, and that he
doesn't feel good.
It doesn't feel good, and his legs were truly, like, they were being serious and earnest and saying that it was just leg cramping, because I did ask, is that all it was? They said yes, that's all it was. I think that an athlete of his age, I think one game's fine for that.
Right.
For that,
yeah.
Because we can't, like, we don't have the luxury. He doesn't have the luxury of time. You know what I mean? Like, he's still got developing to do this year. He needs every single game still. This is not a finished product. So the idea of, I'll give him a few games off, like, no. Like, time is a wasting.
Yeah, because I understand that point, because you do want to see Justin Fields play and continue to develop. My answer is 3. It is 3 for me.
Okay.
But you make a great point because, you know, when you're 20 and you get a cut on your arm, it heals in 3 days. When you get a cut and you're 34, it takes like 2 weeks.
Well, right.
So we're not thinking back to, you know, a guy at that age and that, you know, that, and that, and his physical, like, you know, mold that he can then bounce back in a short period of time and might not need that. But I guess for me it was more about, you know, sometimes growths, you know, I don't know if you play chess or watch chess, but, you know, you watch a game from the outside, you're watching two people play, and you get a different perspective on it. And so for me, when I look at Justin Fields, I'm like, you know what, dude, chill out, sit on the sidelines with your little headphones, you know, see the game plan, see how it's being played out, and then after the bye week, now you've had, you know, a couple weeks to prepare for the next opponent. You got a tough stretch with the Eagles and the Bills coming, you know, having to face them. And then you feel good about yourself because now you're anxious to get back out there and really do your thing. No?
I don't think that's a bad theory at all, but maybe I just look at it more as the old every game is precious, like especially in the NFL. Like I think that those are, if you do conserve him, is I think essentially what you're saying is just make sure he's okay. Like give him just this is his break. This is his vacation time during the season.
That's a great way to
he's using his time. Right. This is he's using his Thanksgiving break. And he's able to heal. To you look at it that way. And that's not a horrible idea, but I look at it as he's still got a lot of work to do. And this man, let's get it all out this year.
Yeah.
All the you got out a bunch of kinks in the first five games. Now he's showing something brilliant with his legs and some of his throws. What are the final five or six games of the season? I don't want him to get cheated out of those games.
I understand that, and then especially you know you get an important game for the Chicago fan base against the Packers. I know they don't care, but in his mind, you know the atmosphere, kind of playing against Rodgers, that always does something for you.
Smother them, yeah. Put a foot on their throat.
You know what I'm worried about, Groats? That it's still the same game plan. So you're throwing a Justin Fields back in there against the Packers, and you're still running ten design runs, or Justin Fields is running and scrambling 18 times a game. It scares me.
But there could also be could we start to see the readjust again from the Bears offense to where
we were talking about that earlier.
Yeah, to where you're not necessarily, you know, flinging it down the field on every play, but you're, again, using a lot more of the running backs out of the back. You know, Khalil Herbert obviously down, but a lot more usage out of David Montgomery. We've seen the chemistry building with Cole Kmet. He could be your best friend on some of those short passes as well. So they could set up a really safe game plan. Like keep an eye on the game plan for Trevor Siemian this week. Because why couldn't they, like, if Justin Fields is not 100% or whatever,
right,
and you really want to see him throw the football more, maybe that's a good baseline to begin with.
What's one thing you think Trevor Siemian could do better than Justin Fields?
I mean, he's probably going to have a better awareness and pocket presence at this point.
Because he has no escapability. By nature, he has to be a better...
He knows what's going on back there, and he knows like when to eject and all of that. And, you know, you're probably just going to see a higher frequency of accurate passing. So I think probably the best thing, though, for him is that just you'll see a different awareness in the pocket, I think. Yeah. What do you think?
I can't wait to see it. I gotta be honest. I'm a huge fan of underdogs. I'm a Chicago fan. That, like when the backup comes in, you're like, oh, wait till this guy comes in. He's gonna throw for 280.
But this is the first time in a long time where the guy that is in office, you're rooting for.
Yeah, you're right.
So this is the first time where you're like, nah, I don't really want to get down to Nate Peterman necessarily.
Point, no, you don't want to do that. But to your point, it is nice to see. It would be nice to see a little something different from this offense. Just a little something different.
Yeah, and I think
that way you can build off of that.
And that goes full circle to what we're talking about and me wanting to see him in as many games as possible because I think that you could see that development by the end of the season to where there is a better mix of run and pass from Justin Fields.
All right, we're going to continue our Bears conversation. Of course, we're here at Tavern on the Point for the Miller Lite Top Draft Show. We're going to be here till 10 o'clock, so a bunch more to discuss when we're talking about your Chicago Bears. But we do get an opportunity to talk some hoops after this. Sam Smith, the famed, will be joining us on the other side. And I get a chance to talk to him about the success last night against the Boston Celtics and wondering if a game like that is something that we should expect from the Chicago Bulls. We'll talk to Sam Smith on the other side. It's Gabe and Grody here at the Miller Lite Top Draft Show on 670 The Score.